Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have to tell you how much filth there is in the world. If you had the news on at all this afternoon, you saw yet one more example down in Florida. Another terrible shooting at a high school. But even without that, we don't have to search very far for examples of filth right here in Las Cruces, right here in our state, in our region, in our country, and around the world, on social media, on TV, in the movies, at work, at your neighbor's house, down the road. Hatred and violence, mockery. Mockery of God and His Word, mockery of God's commandments and what they declare, mockery of Christians. Filth in every form surrounds us, and it seems to surround us more and more, hard to escape. And when that happens, it's dangerous for Christians. But maybe not for the reason you think. Are you worried about being hurt by all of that dirtiness and filth? Are you worried about being contaminated by it? Those things could happen in a way we need to be on our guard against being dragged away into the sins with the rest of the world. But the real danger, the great danger, when it's so easy to see filth all around us, is that it's much harder to see the filth within us. The harder you work to identify sins in other people, the easier it is to ignore them in yourself. Or to put it another way, the harder you work not to identify sin in yourself, the easier it is to identify it in other people. Which is one reason why the loudest cries of hater, racist, homophobe, sexist, or meanie come from those who are working very hard not to see the sin in themselves. Well, the season of Lent is intended to be a corrective to all this for Christians. Whether you fast or don't fast, whether you have ashes painted on your face or no ashes, the point is for the Christian to take time over the next 40 days to see within yourself the sin that is there. The sins of failing to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The sins of failing to love your neighbor as yourself. The sins which others may see, and the sins which no one but you can see, and God. The sins which would condemn you if not for the suffering and death of Christ Jesus in your place, if not for the baptism that has washed you in the atoning blood of Christ, whom you must continue to wear as your only robe of righteousness to stand before God, by which you, the sinner, are counted righteous and are seen as a saint. If only Israel had listened to the calls of the prophets David and Isaiah and Joel, which you heard this evening, to consecrate a fast for all of Israel to stop and look at their own deeds, their own words, their own thoughts, how contrary they were to God's commandments. If they had stopped and repented, then all that destruction that later came upon them wouldn't have had to come upon them, but it did, because they didn't. So, in order to remember that you are a sinner who will surely die, some Christians ask their pastor to paint ashes on their foreheads on this day in the church year. But I won't do that. I won't do that because, as I've said before, first of all, ashes in the church originally had a much different purpose. It was the sign of a believer who had fallen into a grave public sin that he had now returned to the Lord in repentance, so that everyone else might know and so that no one else might fall into that same kind of grave public sin. But then it changed into something else, into a general requirement, in Rome at least, for all the faithful to mark themselves with the acknowledgement of their sin so that others could see, and so that they could feel it there on their forehead, so that they could know that I'm going to die. There's so much death that surrounds us, so much death that touches our lives, some more than others, but enough that I don't think the mark on the forehead does anyone much good. And as for repenting of your sins, well, that's what you already did in the service this evening, and that's what you're listening to the Word of God telling you to do. So putting a mark on your forehead really won't help you to do that, and it won't help anyone else to see it either. But in order to keep focusing on spiritual things, other Christians have practiced other things like fasting and other outward disciplines, not eating for hours, several hours in a day, maybe until sunset, or maybe skipping a meal, or a sort of selective fasting, not eating certain foods for a certain period of time, like meat or chocolate or something else. Well, there's more biblical precedent for fasting in the Old Testament, at least the kind of fasting where you don't eat anything until sunset, not the selective fasting that Rome practices. Jesus himself fasted from all food for 40 days and 40 nights, which we'll hear about this Sunday in the Gospel. And fasting is even mentioned as a possible practice that Christians may choose to use, and if they do, it should be a private matter, as Jesus says in the Gospel. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. If you practice it that way, fasting has some benefit, because every time you think, it's time for a meal, but I'm not eating, I'm hungry, you're supposed to be reminded that you're a sinner, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, as Jesus will quote to the devil at the end of his fast, that you depend on God, not only for food, but for all things. And when you feel those pangs of hunger, you should be reminded of the goodness of Christ and of his promise that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so that you do hunger for his word and for his grace. And instead of taking a break for lunch, you might take a break to pray instead, or to read the Word of God, or to go and be helpful to your neighbor in some way. In all those things, there's some benefit to be had. But fasting can be and has been historically abused. It can be turned into a law by the church. And that's wrong. It can be turned into a sacrifice, something that you're doing for God or giving up for God to earn his favor, or turned into a self-chosen form of worship, as if God were especially honored by your decision not to eat lunch on a given day, which he doesn't say in his word honors him. I'm giving up this, I'm giving up that for Lent. That becomes a self-chosen form of worship. A true fast isn't about what you're sacrificing, what you're giving up for God. There's the danger also that Jesus warned about in the Gospel. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Fasting or ashes on the forehead can turn into something you do to get attention from other people, and that's wicked. You hear people asking, are you giving up anything for Lent? Well, I'm giving up such and such. My students asked me in one class yesterday, Pastor, are you giving up anything for Lent? And I said, if I were, I certainly wouldn't tell you about it. Because that's just the point. It's not something to be done so that other people know what you're giving up. It's to be done only for those other purposes mentioned above. Something that God sees you doing, not to honor Him, but to help yourself. Because we need that kind of discipline, whether it's not eating for a while or some other spiritual discipline, getting you to do those things and to think about those things that you need to think about, and getting you to remember those other ways in which you may serve the Lord. So, whether you choose to fast or not, I don't want to know, and no one else should know either. But what I would urge you to do during this Lenten tide, in addition to being serious about repentance, in addition to taking some extra time to hear and learn the Word of God, is to take to heart Jesus' words in the Gospel, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As we sang in the hymn a moment ago, Jesus Himself is our priceless treasure. But you don't have to lay Him up in heaven, because He's already ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He's already given Himself for us on the cross, and He already gives Himself to us in word and sacrament. Heaven itself is a free gift of His grace to all who believe in Him. So how do you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Well, you could work and work and work to give yourself a better future on earth and a more certain retirement. Or you could focus your attention, focus your labors on the things that won't fade away, on the things that aren't temporary, on the things that aren't fleeting, like everything in this world. You could work to teach your children the Word of God so that they know it. You could do works like praying for your neighbor and equipping yourself to serve him better. Those are works that last, that don't fade away. And you could do works in the context Jesus is talking about, like using your wealth to spread the kingdom of God and to help your neighbor in his need, to think about which neighbor of mine, which person in my life that I'm in contact with, that I know about, could I help out a little bit more instead of padding my own accounts, which is easy to do. And there's nothing wrong with having a retirement account. But is that your treasure? Is that what you're working for? Is that what you're living for, to live better here? Or is it to have treasures in heaven that will be waiting for you when you get there, that may help others to arrive there? together with Jesus, your treasure who is there. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. With your focus on Christ, with your focus on how you might spread the word of Christ and help others to know him. So, repentance, faith in Christ, learning his word, doing his works. These are the emphases of the Christian life, not just of the season of Lent. But may this season sharpen your focus on all these things, and may the word of Christ that you hear build you up, both in faith and in love. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.